Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Robert Eiler, Economic Forensics and Analytics President and Head of Research. Wow, that's a big title.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, that like that thing?
Totally.
Hey, we talked last year about the economy and all that going on and stuff. So it's always good to get an annual visit here and check out, get your take on what's going on here. And so let's kind of cut to the chase here. What's the current state of the U.S. economy? How are we doing these days?
So state of the U.S. economy actually just got a new piece of data this morning. The gross domestic product growth showed up at 1.9% in the third quarter. So it looks like that most of the predictions of a continued very minor but continued slowdown are starting to still show their face. Mm-hmm. A lot of economists predicted that we would be around 2% in the third quarter. So 1.9 is close on the first estimate. We'll see if that kicks up a tenth of a percent or not.
Okay.
But it's pretty close. So in general, we still are foundationally in a solid economy. We're still growing jobs. We still are seeing GDP growth. We're seeing personal income growth. So if you look at it through those lenses, things are going well. There are other ones in terms of looking at what's going on with other countries, what's going on with our interest rates, our inflation rates, and some of the things that the Federal Reserve is debating as they're making their final deliberations today about the next steps with respect to interest rates. It'll be intriguing to see what happens this afternoon when they make the interest rate announcement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good timing.
Just happens to be the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some caveats to consider? Because we were talking labor market, economic changes, the possible downturn, AKA recession. What are some of these caveats to consider?
I think the three caveats are: one, that inflation rising is something we have not seen much of since the Great Recession happened. And
no doubt.
One of our concerns is that the Federal Reserve policy is in this really weird conundrum about whether or not to get growth kicked back up and inflation kicked back up. And how much do we do to where we don't, let's say, start accelerating expectations around inflation and that starts to be detrimental on our financial markets. There's also the issue, which is parallel, about the way our yield curves are shaped. And so we've just seen over the summer, we had the yield curve, at least in its 10-year to 3-month spread, inverted, which is now kicked back above zero again. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it goes back is going to depend a lot on what we do with policy and how that policy then reverberates around the world. And then third thing is that the world economy is starting to show signs of a slowdown, which at some point is going to hit us. And this game that we're playing with data is, do we see enough data out there to suggest that we are going into what you think of as a technical recession? Are we just going to sort of slowly slow down to the point we may be able to spread this out maybe another couple of years without going toward zero or negative in growth?
Right.
And how much does that really affect? I mean, in the case of the credit union world, does it affect member and employee decisions about what they're doing with their lives? And so I think that, you know, what I've been talking about a lot to credit union leaders through the Credit Union League and just the other things I've been doing is, you know, we got to have the focus on what how our members and employees are ultimately going to react, given it's been this 8 or 9 year run of just sort of slow and steady but positive growth.
Yeah. So let's talk about the possible, or well, I don't think it's a lot of people said it's not possible. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's a matter of when. So I've heard anytime between now and 5 years, the elections may have something to do with that as well. So what's your take on that?
My take is if we go into recession before 2021, it'll probably be more event-driven than, let's say, foundationally economy-driven. So usually historically, what's happened in the United States is that you have growth that then gives way to inflation, higher interest rates, that slows down economic activity. We turn a cyclic corner. We see interest rates go down. We see inflation sag a little bit, and we turn the corner and go into another growth phase. In this case, because inflation and interest rates have remained so low, you can't say that a half a percentage point one way or the other is a so-called turn in the economy that where that really is the signal. Mm-hmm. But for our purposes, you'd say, as economists, you say, look, you know, the classic signs of recession are not there. So it's easy to say it'll happen in the next 5 years because it seems like, well, just like taxes, you're going to have to pay them at some point. You know, recession's coming at some point in 5 years is kind of a hand wavy way of saying that. But what the slowdown does ultimately for the American economy is it gets us closer to zero to where an event can tip us over into recession where otherwise that may not have made that big of a difference. So that's for most economists, we're sort of seeing the next couple of years as slower and more risky, but not necessarily a fast descent into negative growth territory. A lot of it does depend on, again, events, the outcome of the election and how you know, if you see again, members and employees as a microcosm of society, how we see society, especially American society, react to what happens in the United States elections. Do they abandon the financial markets because of all the uncertainty, pardon me, that comes with it? Mm-hmm. Do they double down on the financial markets because they feel like the certainty is there? Mm-hmm. Those kind of items are the things that really, you know, are not, let's say, policy driven, but that policy can ultimately shape. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the Fed's decision today, I personally am of a mind that the data did not suggest that the Fed should cut rates again this month. I think they should wait until December and see how the inflation data evolve. Yeah. But a lot of Wall Street is betting on there being a rate cut today. And it'll be intriguing to see if they do it and what the rationale. The Fed's pretty split on that, and that's kind of coming full circle. If you think about where recession may be coming in the future, if it's 4 or 5 years away, then getting too aggressive to keep it from happening now seems somewhat, you know, overly hawkish. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as you go into an election year, you're thinking about how does that uncertainty and policy work together to kind of shape the certainty for the American economy. Mm-hmm.
And I've even heard, and this is probably extreme on the extreme, but even this impeachment, no matter your political affiliation, politics aside, but all this impeachment news and possible impeachment going through could trigger a recession earlier rather than later. Is there some validity to that?
Well, it's certainly, again, because of the uncertainty piece, right? Impeachment is an event for the economy. It's not something that regularly occurs. So what we're concerned about as economists is saying, look, you know, the political process is going to go through its issues, but how much of that is actually being priced into the market as a potential detriment for the market? And is that pushing us closer to the edge where if that craziness wasn't going on, we would be at another place. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt about the fact that it's a negative in the economy in terms of the sort of resources that are spent on both the media and just the political machine dealing with it. But, you know, again, if the evidence is there and our democracy is based on having that option for Congress to take on the president, then we have to kind of just hold on tight and get through it. It does impute uncertainty where it otherwise would not necessarily be.
Okay. I'm going to bring it back to the credit unions. So what should credit unions be doing this? Because you mentioned earlier about, you know, hiring new people and all that type of stuff and operating expenses, that type of stuff, you know. So what should credit unions be doing in the meantime? Is it just business as usual, or should there be some precautionary things they should be doing? Or,
well, I think certainly for credit unions, it's real mixed bag in two ways. One is that with rates looking like they're going to be drugged down, if the short rates are pulled down, that gives you a lower cost of funds. Mm-hmm. If the long rates are dragged down, it gives you lower revenue. So that margin squeeze has been probably prevalent in most credit unions' minds over the last 18 or 24 months because it's generally seen across the credit union world. Mm-hmm. So seeing that core profit, or what you think of as gross margin that that credit unions make on behalf of members to sort of keep the credit union going, that's a key piece. So how interest rates evolve is something that I think all credit unions are going to deal with. On the employee side, just finding employees as you continue to kind of lumber along in this growth phase, and as if lending does kick up because rates go down, you're still going to need people to process, to sell, to sort of manage all the portfolio. Mm-hmm. That's something from the employee side is, you know, do I stay at the credit union? If I'm trying to get a job, is the credit union the right place to find a job for management? Are we getting good people, and are those people going to stick around? And it seems like there's been a real hiring renaissance in the front end of the recovery, and on the back end, credit unions are all kind of struggling with the same thing, that the labor market's thin, it's tougher to find talent, talent's being drawn away from the credit union as the thinness sort of, you know, generalizes across the economy. So that game is probably not going away for the next couple of years. So on the profit side, the interest rate watch is definitely going to be on. On the management side, the employee watch is going to be on. And then if we start to see a slowdown in consumer behavior, there may be some changes in interchange income and other sort of non-interest income that credit unions are going to watch a little bit more completely. But we're probably going to have a relatively soft landing. So credit unions should really not panic, start thinking about those sort of some of those challenges and caveats to the next couple of years.
Let's talk. You mentioned lending a little bit earlier. I've heard and seen that we're at like record levels as far as lending goes, or as credit. We're like, I mean, it's. Does that worry you at all as far as the economy goes?
That's a great question.
Because lending's been off the charts for the last 3 or 4 years, especially auto lending. So now mortgages as well. So what's your take on that?
Yeah. So then if you look at the data on household debt, we actually are at the highest levels of all time in terms of the total amount of debt on the street that households have borrowed.
Right.
If you look at it in inflation-adjusted terms, we're actually about $1 trillion below where we were at the peak of the last cycle. So that's something I do in a lot of the things I do for the Credit Union League and just in general when I give speeches about the economies. I try to remind people that the peak in borrowing happened in, let's say, late 2006. Well, that's 13 years later. We're back nominally at that peak. But in real terms, if you take inflation into account, we're still below the peak, which means while we have borrowed more, the growth of that borrowing has been slower, and by refinancing and borrowing at lower rates, you can say that households have sort of restructured their balance sheet, if you will, in such a way to make them actually a lower risk.
Okay.
So
I like that.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's not that big a deal. Now the difference is that corporate debt levels are at the highest of all time. Same dynamic. It's still in real terms lower, but low interest rates attract a lot of borrowing. So you don't. The balance sheet mix is probably the biggest challenge of any lender, but low rates have made it sort of a weird conundrum also because of the rate of return on the lender has not been great, but the borrower is not as exposed to as much interest risk on the front end unless it all becomes adjustable.
Yeah.
So that the game is that with low and consistent interest rates, even adjustable rates have been relatively slow to change and have lowered the risk. But yes, you don't want debt levels to get too high. And I think a lot of credit unions, if this continues to go on for 2 or 3 more years, are going to start to contend with, well, what are we doing for members in such a way that makes sense with their own household portfolios vis-a-vis what we have to do as a business?
Yeah, I think that's why there's such a race for deposits right now, because they're trying to get things back in balance, I guess.
and that portfolio game of trying to make sure your assets and your liabilities are in a sense balanced out. As you lend more and you suck away more deposits, bringing in those deposits sort of gets you right back, is exactly what you just said.
Yep.
But that game of deposit attraction is a game of rates. And if the Fed is pulling those short rates down, it's hard to make the case of pushing them up to attract deposits because it changes the game for you in terms of cost of funds. So that's for a lot of credit unions, they're going to play that game probably for the next 12 or 18 months as the Fed sort of figures out where it wants to go with short rates.
Okay. And last question for you, what's in the cards for the next 2 years? I mean, we've been talking recession most of the interview, but are there any other items of the economy that we need to be looking at in the next 12 to 24 months?
I think that the two main items are what's happening with China and how that may change Wall Street, the president, policy of the Federal Reserve, and it's a real test of how important the Chinese economy is to the world economy and ultimately the U.S. economy. That's probably one place that if we get a trade deal done that seems generalized and that both sides are happy with the outcome and we're going to move away from this thing, you might actually see a real bump next year that we weren't expecting because that uncertainty washes away.
Yeah.
The second thing is really just getting through the American elections. I mean, you can see that, you know, other elections around the world have had, you know, a week's worth of news. Our election is probably going to have 6 months worth of news minimum, and it's already kind of started.
Yeah.
So if there's any uncertainty drifting into summer 2020 about where things are going, that'll be the real change. That'll be another thing to really watch close. And so the Credit Union League has this page called Your Economy, Your Credit Union, and we're going to keep pushing stuff up there in such a way to sort of keep people abreast on how these events may be ultimately affecting the macro economy and the choices of members and employees.
Oh, what a cool resource. Okay, yeah, we'll put that in the show notes too so people can get right to it.
Oh, right on. Cool.
It's a fantastic resource for sure. All right, Robert, I'm going to let you get back at it. People are probably wondering, why is Robert remote and why is Mike at a conference? Well, you were supposed to be at Reach, but due to the fire concerns out here in California, you stayed close to home. And we're happy to hear that you and your family are safe and sound. So we're all good there, but you couldn't make it this time. So that's why we decided to do kind of a remote via Zoom. So thank you for your time, sir. I'm glad everything's okay.
You bet, Mike. Thanks for your flexibility on that. We're in Sonoma County and things have gotten better, but there's still a lot of people. It's going to be a very strange transition the next couple of weeks. So thanks again for your concern and thanks for making time for me.
Oh, anytime, sir. Anytime, sir. And our thoughts and prayers go to those folks throughout California who are affected by the fires. And we hope everything gets back to normal as soon as possible. But our concerns are certainly with them. So, all righty, Robert. Thanks again for the time. Always a pleasure talking to you. And just always an education as well. So appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mike. See you next time. Take care.
Okay. Well done.